Tonight I'd like to invite you to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Once again, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that we might be faithful witnesses, Lord, to our family, to our church family, and ultimately to the world. Bless tonight, Lord. Bless your people. Build your church, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Strengthened, listen, with all might, according to his glorious power. Isn't that good? We don't have to worry about a thing. And Paul was concerned and wanted the believers at Colossae to understand some truths tonight that we'll consider this evening. And that's, first of all, Paul made a petition in their behalf. And then Paul had a spiritual concern for them, and I think the concern is still true today for the Lord's people and for his churches. And then ultimately Paul gave them an encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ that God wants you and I to have. So that's the three thoughts tonight: Paul's petition, Paul's spiritual concern, and Paul's encouragement in Christ. So back up with me, if you would, to verse 4, and let's look at Paul's petition. And I want to ask, well, why did Paul make this petition? And I think as we consider these verses, we'll see why. Verse 4 says this: "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints." So first of all, we find that Paul made this petition because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fellow believers in the Lord, and they had the love of God in them toward all the saints. Remember, that's what the Lord said: by the love that you have one for another is how they're all going to know that you belong to me. So the love for God's people is important. And God loved us unconditionally. God wants us to love one another unconditionally. And here's the important part: we cannot do that on our own. We need to see one another as God sees us, right? When we look at fellow believers, may we look at fellow believers the same way that the Lord does, and that is that he loves us and has given himself for us. And may we be Christians that live by grace and not by what's right and what's wrong, right? Because if we live by what's right, we're going to be offended. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people, and maybe I've even thought it and said it myself, well, that's just not right. That's just not the way that things ought to be done. Well, the reason why it's not right and the reason why it's not being done right, possibly in the life of that believer, they're not right with the Lord, right? They're not in tune with him. They're not in step with him. But they still belong to the Lord, just like we looked at Lot this morning. I mean, listen, he was in the wrong place. He was not doing the right thing. And he was not the influence that God would have him to be. But he still belonged to him. And God still delivered him. Here's Abram. Oh, Lord, listen, I don't want to trouble you. I'm already petitioning you. I said 50, then 45, and then 40, and then 30, and then 20. How about 10, Lord? Well, you know, listen, Abraham was saying, would you spare the city? But he was really concerned about Lot. God said no to his request, but yes to his desire, because Lot was saved, wasn't he? Lot was spared, physically speaking. He was spared. And so sometimes we ask things of the Lord that may not be his will, but he does understand our hearts. And he does want to bring us into a closer relationship with him where we can trust him. I wonder, do you think maybe Abraham pondered that whole outcome of what took place? Wow, look what the Lord did. Remember he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Won't you do the right thing? And you know the answer to that is, right? Yes, he will always do what is right. And not only will he always do what's right, but he will always do what is right by you and I. And we don't always understand. I will tell you, I'm confused at times. I'm even maybe dismayed at times when things take place. But the Lord, I have to remind myself, and maybe we should be thinking about this in our own personal lives, is the Lord not in control? Is he in control? Here's another question. Can you trust the Lord? Can you really trust the Lord? Can you really trust him? That's an important thought to ponder. Can you really trust, even when it doesn't make sense, can you trust the Lord? And there are times that things don't make sense in everybody's life. And I will just say this. I've said this before, but it's so important for us to be reminded of this. The reason why you and I are here, still here, and what I mean by that is still walking with the Lord and still seeking God, is because of his grace in our lives. Many things should have taken us out. Many things that we could have been looking at, focused on, could have taken us, made us shipwrecked, and God truly holds us in his hands. There's so many things that take place that could take us out, and the Lord does not let us go. He keeps us going, and we thank the Lord for that. And so Paul is saying, I want you to know, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, we want to interchange that word with trust, because you trust God. Because your trust and your faith is in the Lord, and the love that you have to the saints. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Is that true in your life and mine? Listen, to one degree or another, God is bringing forth fruit in your life. You are growing in the grace of God. To whatever degree you want to call it, you are here, you are still in the hand of God, and God is not finished with us, and he's wanting to bless us, and he has a purpose. Listen, things don't always work out the way that we think that they should, but they're always on God's timetable and on time schedule, and nothing has taken God off guard. In other words, he's not surprised by anything. We look at the life of Joseph and what had happened in his life, and he had the perspective that, listen, his brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and it did turn out for good, didn't it? Even for the brothers that didn't even know they were falling right in line with what God was doing. God allowed them to do what they did, and God used it for Joseph's blessing, and also, and by the way, it wasn't easy for Joseph, was it? He had difficulties. That would not be the life that anybody would choose. And yet God blessed him and strengthened him and had him in a place to learn more about God's great faithfulness. By the way, God has you and I in a place to learn more about his great faithfulness. But what we need to do is trust him. Say, Lord, I trust you regardless. Isn't that good? Lord, and listen, Lord, help me to trust you that way. When things don't make sense, that I can trust you. Is God, listen, does every good gift come down from our Heavenly Father? Is that the truth? God wants to bless us in that way. And so Paul here is wanting to build up the Colossians. Remember, Paul was the one that said that he had so many things happen in his life that he even despaired of life. That's a pretty dire strait to be in. And by the way, I think the Holy Spirit allowed him. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is it is so personal, isn't it? It reveals and exposes so much about our frailty and God's strength. None of the people that have served the Lord faithfully can ever take the credit and say, yeah, because I was so good to the Lord, right? No, they will say just the opposite, because God was so good to who? To me. God was so good. God was so faithful. Abraham messed up, didn't he? I mean, my goodness, he laughed and he was looking to himself. You know, the Bible says, so when you stop and consider, when God said, listen, I'm going to give you a son, Isaac, Abraham laughed and said, and here's where his problem was. He said, shall I, whom 100 years old and Sarah, who's 90, bear a child? You know, that's what he's saying. So he was looking to himself. He was saying, can I possibly? He wasn't laughing at God. I don't even think he was laughing at the promise of God. The problem was Abraham's focus was on himself. And you know, that will cause us the greatest interference in our understanding the will of God. When we look to ourselves and we say, I know the will of God, but Lord, have you taken a good look at me? You know, Lord, do you see my weakness? I've got news for you that you already know. From eternity past, God saw us and had compassion on us. and saw that we needed him in a great and mighty way. And if we will just put our, if we will just ask God to help us put our trust in him, it is never too late for God to do great and mighty things in your life and mine. Don't listen, if you are still here, and you are, right? You're still here. We're not one of those people that say, we're not really here. We are here. And because we are here, we know that the Lord's not finished, and he wants to do a good work in your life and mine that will honor him and that will awe us about God's grace working in our lives. So as we consider these thoughts, we know that they had fruit in their life. We knew that God was encouraging their love in the Spirit. Look at verse 7. As he also, listen to this, as he also learned of Epaphras. By the way, that's the whole objective. That's the whole process. It's a learning process of who our God is in our lives. And so he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And that word Spirit is capitalized, so we know it's the Holy Spirit. How are we to love one another? Not in our strength, not our love is biased, is it not? Our love is conditional sometimes. But the love of God in you and in me, because we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, is the grace of God. There is no measure in it. See, our love will only go so far, but the love of God supersedes all love, right? All love. Let's take all of our love together, and God's love supersedes it. So may we look to love one another in the Spirit of God and in the love of God. And so Paul was making this petition on their behalf. He says, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm concerned since I've heard. Listen, I want you to know that I'm asking the Lord to do these things. It would be good for Northwood Baptist Church to pray one for another that God would do this in our lives. Do you know, and it's a good thing to do. We don't have a tremendously huge church. I promise you, you can do it in 5 minutes. You could do it in 10 minutes if you'd like. But you can just take a little bit of time and flip through the church directory and be reminded of each one and ask God to bless and make us his light that would honor and glorify. Bless the life and the family that you're looking at. Lord, bless them because it only enhances our relationship one with another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to pray one for another in that regard. Do it. It wouldn't be a difficult thing to do daily. I'm not telling you that you have to do it daily, but weekly for sure. Oh, God, listen, we ought to pray for every church service. God, move in our service. Question, are souls perishing? How often? I was thinking every day, but brother, every second they're perishing, aren't they? Every second they are perishing. And so, Lord, may you have your will in my life to be the light that you need in my realm and in the realm of Northwood Baptist Church. And so Lord, the membership is the light of God. The membership of the church, of Northwood Baptist Church, the salt of the world is Northwood Baptist Church. And so I think it would honor the Lord that we pray one for another and say, oh Lord, make them the light, make them the salt, that you bless them with the Holy Spirit. May they be filled with your grace and your love so that they can bless their family. We all have families that need to be saved and also need to be encouraged in the Lord. But Lord, that we might be the light to our family, to our church, the encouragement that our church needs, and then ultimately to the whole world. And I'm convinced that will honor and please God. And I think that's a prayer he definitely wants to answer if we'll just ask him. Secondly, Paul had a spiritual concern. And we want to consider why. Look at verse 9 with me. And he says, for this cause we also, since you're faithful to the Lord. But he said this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, about your testimony, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We want you to be on a solid foundation. We're spiritually concerned that God would fulfill his will and work in the life of every believer. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy. That we might walk in the grace of God because of the worthiness of our God. Our God is worthy of our complete submission to Him, that He might have His will. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was Paul's concern for the believers at Colossae. And by the way, God's still concerned for the believers here at Northwood Baptist Church. He wants us to have this outlook that we might walk worthy, verse 10, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then here it is. Here's the focal point. Strengthened with all might. Listen, God wants us to understand this power according to His glorious power. God says, I want to strengthen you with not your power, not my power, not Paul's power. Would Paul tell you he had any power? Would David tell you he had the... Did you get a load of Goliath go down? Do you think David was saying... Do you think David was in any way implying that he had anything to do with that other than just being an instrument? He said, just as the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, this giant's going to go... What? Listen... Where was his confidence? It was in his God. Anybody in the scriptures, if we'll consider, that had anything to do with glorifying the Lord, they were dependent upon his power. In fact, some question we were discussing this morning in the men's Sunday school class about Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor, I've commanded you to go. That was God's authority. Wait a minute. He's commanded you and I also to go forward for his honor and glory. And so, as we consider this, he says, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. By the way, that's us today, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So let me ask you this. If you run out of patience and you run out of long suffering and you run out of joy, what's the problem? Where are we looking to the Lord at that moment? And I want you, we're not. And I want you to know, I'm not saying that to you. I am flesh and blood too. I run out of patience. But if I run out of patience, I'm not looking at the Lord. So I have to stop myself and say, Lord, I am not looking at you at this moment. I am out of patience. Has that ever happened to you? We can sing the songs and the praises of God as long as things are going our way. I went to go make a cup of coffee this afternoon, and my coffee machine did something I'd never seen it do before. I got this little pot of coffee in there, and it is shooting out the side, coffee and grounds all over my counter. What is going on here? What is going on? I was wondering, did somebody do something to this coffee pot? Yeah, it was me. I was the culprit. I didn't put that lid on tight the right way. It was all crooked, so water was going in and the coffee was coming out of the side. Oh, that was not the end of it. So then I make my coffee the right way. And then I go over. I've got a wooden desk that's got a glass top on it. And, you know, it sits on top. It's in like a little frame. I don't know. I was talented this afternoon. And I don't know how I put my coffee cup down, but it spilled all over the place and went underneath the glass and on the wood. So I've got this puddle of coffee sitting on, and I'm like, great. I thought I was going to sit down and you know, get ready and have this time, and the Lord had other plans. He said, I want to make sure that you're not looking, and I wasn't at that moment. I was like, why? And then I remembered, oh, I need to look to the Lord. And the moment, I'll be honest with you, I didn't do it right away, just so that in case you wondered. But the moment I gave it over to the Lord, I was okay. As long as, when I reminded myself that God allows all things for our good and His glory. Sometimes we have to stop. Listen, we are so easily taken out of the joy of the Lord. We're just one step away. We just need to remind ourselves. But wait a minute. God holds everything. And I'm, listen, I am so glad that was all. Was that really a trial? No, that was not really a trial at all. That took me all of about an hour and a half. No, I'm kidding. 20 minutes probably to straighten out, and then everything was all right. But it just taught me, listen, I need the Lord because God's joy is never ending. God's peace is never ending. And God wants us to have peace that the world doesn't understand, even when there's coffee underneath the glass. He really does. Even when there's something to be cleaned up and things to take care of that we weren't planning on, those are grace opportunities, opportunities and appointments that God allows to come into our lives that we think we don't have time for, but really, what is time all about anyway? Our time here, what's it for? If not for the glory of God. And we have to be reminded of that. And so here's Paul. And he says, I want you to know, verse 11, that we are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, even when the coffee gets spilled, even when things don't go the way that we think they should. Listen to this, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are joint heirs with all the saints, with all the believers that have gone on before. And then speaking about this relationship that we have with the Lord, notice what he says in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Will that ever change? Can that ever change? Are you trying to tell me when coffee is shooting out the side and spilling on the counter? Or when you walk over and I don't even know what I did. I don't know if I shook or what I did, but all of a sudden I'm looking at coffee all over the place. Do you mean even when that happens in life, that we still belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? And we still have a cause and a reason to rejoice that the world doesn't know and that at one time in our lives we didn't know as well. And so we thank the Lord that we are in the kingdom of the Son of God. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even for the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that good? That will never change. We have been forgiven. Now, the last thought here as we consider this is Paul's encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice who we put our trust in. Listen, who is the image of the invisible God. That's our Savior. The firstborn of every creature. Listen to this. For by him were all things created. He's the creator. You want to know who the creator is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. The whole Godhead was involved. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And they said, let us make man in our... But he is the creating agent, if you will, here. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Does that mean me too? And you? Isn't that amazing? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. They have their being and their purpose. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence, first place. That's where, listen, Paul was wanting the believers to understand this is God's place first. Now listen. If God has first place in our lives, then everything is in his hands. Even when things don't go the way we think they should, he still holds them, doesn't he? Let me ask you this. Have things not worked out the way you thought they should? But God is still in control. And that's where our rest is at. That Lord, you are in control. And then lastly, listen to this. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Listen to that. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Where do we need to be if we want to experience all fullness? In him. We need to be in his Spirit. We need to be in his hand. We need to be in his will. We need to be yielded before Him and presenting ourselves that He might have His will in His way in our lives. And Paul was saying to the believers, as he says to us tonight, through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, this is where joy is found. This is where rest is found. This is where hope is found, not just for today, but for tomorrow, and the wonderful thing for all eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, we have a hope that the world, you know, some people say, well, I hope, like maybe yes, maybe no. No, no, no. We have an assured hope because of who we put our faith and trust in. All of our loved ones that have gone on before us, we might see them, we will see them. But the greatest of all will be when we look into the face. What will that be like? When you look into the face of your Redeemer. When you look eye to eye and you look at Him, you know we're going to see the love of God like never before, that was always unfailing and all-powerful. And we will spend, you tell me, how long with the Lord? Eternity. Isn't that good? Forever. Praise God. We are strengthened tonight with all might according to His glorious power. Whose power? His power. Isn't that good? Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne tonight, once again thanking You and praising You for the great salvation that You've given to us. And Lord, we ask that You would create in our hearts and our minds a desire to seek You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And Lord, to realize the importance of the body of Christ that You've placed us in here at Northwood Baptist Church. May You put it in our hearts to pray one for another and to be fervent in prayer and compassionate about it. And believing, Lord, that You will do and bring do Your work and bring changes into our lives that will allow us to be faithful servants and be found faithful when You return. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.